Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Dr. Carl, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And are we talking about a pub argument, a slab of beer argument?
Oh, no. This is just one of the discussions I land up getting into with one of my kids. And I don't know why, but it just becomes a thing that we argue about for ages and bring proofs and so on and so forth. So the argument, or the discussion rather, was as follows. I said, I don't understand why when we watch movies and adverts and things on Instagram and Facebook, we've got visuals, we've got sound, we really can immerse ourselves in the situation. How difficult would it be to add scent, smell to it? And he said, well, his argument was, I think that would be a terrible thing. I think it'll be a wonderful thing. But like anything, it's got good and bad. And yes, it might be that you're watching a movie and it can get a little unpleasant if they overuse it. But how difficult is that, do you think?
In this case, remember the unofficial motto of the American Air Force, which is that with enough energy, a pig will fly. So if you throw enough money at it, you can have sense being wafted into the theatre all the way through. This is called, in a vernacular, smell-o-vision, and Hollywood did briefly dabble with it just for fun, but it never went anywhere because you might have bad smells.
Yes.
You've also got the problem of getting the smells evenly distributed through the whole theatre, and the air conditioning system normally runs from one direction to the other, and it takes a few seconds to get there. And if you've got the hero or heroine walking through a rose garden and then immediately onto the ocean, some people would have a bit of a delay as the scent took time to go past them. And then, of course, there's the legal aspect. What if it turns out that I am allergic to the smell of roses and I am going to have an anaphylactic reaction and die, and my family will sue you because you made me smell roses in the theatre?
Yeah, what annoys me about this is you seem to be taking my son's argument. He was much more sensible about this. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm the artist in the family, but I really thought that if you're watching often you look at something and you think, wow, I wonder what that smells like, and we don't have the opportunity, but interesting indeed. All right, let's just talk about as well a lot of discussion around the role of women and history of women at the Olympics.
Well, basically, not much happened with women. Way back in the early days of the Olympic Games, about 700 and something BC, they did have the Olympics for the males, but there was also a separate festival in honour of Hera, the wife of Zeus, H-E-R-A, and this was organised by a committee of 16 women every 4 years, and it pretty well went for a long time. It was only for unmarried women, not married women. Women were moderately put down in those times. If they were in one of the Greek cities that was not Sparta, the men would live at home, and the women would be given a little bit of house duties, looking after the house and so forth. If they lived in Sparta, the women had more responsibilities because the men lived in military camps, even after they were married, and would come back home occasionally only every now and then. And so the women had the responsibility of running the finances and the house. The first women's marathon was in 1984 in Los Angeles.
Incredible.
By 96, you get to softball. By the year 2000 at the Sydney Olympics, five new sports were introduced for women, which were water polo, pole vaulting, trampoline, synchronized diving, and hammer throws. And we have the situation by 2016 that of all the athletes at the Olympic Games in 2016 out of the 13,000, 45% were women. But in the general world, women may be getting the visibility, but not the income that the men make out of sports. So we've come a long way. We've got more to go.
It's interesting because I was doing some research around this, and I didn't realize that in how difficult it was for women even to be allowed to run a marathon. And there's the story of this Catherine Switzer, I think it is, who was the first woman to run the Boston Marathon. It's absurd how long it took to allow women to participate in sport.
There's a lot of sexism that goes on. So back in 1999, at the Women's World Cup, Brandi Chastain, after scoring the winning goal, like all the male do, she ripped off her jersey and she was wearing a bra underneath. Mm. And that just that was incredibly sexualized by the American public, even though it's basically what you see in advertisements on the side of a bus or Absolutely. At the beach. So there's a difference between flesh and pornography, which some people get confused in their brains.
Right, right. Even though, never mind. So fascinating indeed. Let's just talk about rehydration. We always have this conversation. Somebody isn't feeling well. They're feeling a bit dehydrated for whatever reason. What is the best thing to give them?
In most cases, water. In most cases. And experiments have been done with radioactively labeled water, which shows that the water molecules, if you've got an average, these are 36 average males at a university who are not typical of the world, right? So, but at least it's a study. It was the first one, right? We have to do better ones. But they got these 36 males to have 300 mils of ordinary water, just plain water, labeled with deuterium so they could find it. And this labeled water started showing up in their bloodstream within 5 minutes of their drinking it. Within 12 minutes, half the water had been drunk, had been absorbed out of the gut into the bloodstream, and it was completely absorbed in about 90 minutes. But then in the special case, when you've got a terrible disease where you've got massive diarrhea, such as cholera, you can lose 120 liters of water in a 24-hour day, and you don't have 120 liters of water in your body. So within a few hours you die, and giving them water doesn't work because the cells of the gut have been damaged and can't take up the water fast enough. And so one of the greatest discoveries of the 20th century dealing with diarrhea in babies was that if you add a few sprinklings of fairy dust, you know, a bit of fat, a bit of protein, a bit of carbohydrate in the right ratios, suddenly they can absorb the water and you don't have to get water into them by the very expensive way of giving them a drip. You just add the fairy dust to the water and then they can absorb it. And maybe there's an argument for drinking fabulous water if you spend maybe 10 hours a day in the gym. Mm. But I don't. For the rest of us, you know, plain water is all the hydration material you need.
Absolutely. And there's this myth that walking through a doorway makes you forget stuff. True or not true?
Well, it is true, providing the environment is different on each side of the doorway. So if you're walking in from one living room in a big house into another identical living room, no big difference. But if you're walking from your study into the hallway and then into your kitchen, there's a big difference. And we think from an evolutionary point of view, this goes way back to when we left the jungles about 2 million years ago and started walking, having split off from the chimpanzees 5 million years earlier, thanks to two mutations, which were that we lost our body hair and we had mutations to our hips.
Right.
And so when you're in the jungle, what you've got to look out for is the killer gorilla, because it's really strong and it can rip your arms off. But as soon as you walk out of the jungle onto... Now, I haven't spent much time in Africa, so forgive me for my preconceptions. But as soon as you walk out onto the savannah, then you've got to forget about the killer gorilla in the high up in the trees and look out for the flash of khaki.
You do indeed.
In the grass, which could mean a lion. Now, I don't know if that's what they look like. Forgive me. And so we have been evolutionarily wired up over several million years that when we change our environments, we forget the past. And we concentrate on the future because the past can't kill you and the future, it might be able to. So when you, poor innocent Howard, walk into the kitchen, you think, I'm just walking into the kitchen because I've walked out of the study to get a cup of coffee. And but secretly in the background, your brain is scanning like an American CIA agent with a big gun, scanning the room for the killer dishwasher and the killer microwave and the killer stove. And then it says, room's all clear, enter. and this has all been going on without you knowing about it, and then you're in a room and you're thinking,
why am I here?
Why am I here?
So it's not an age thing.
Well, it, dementia? No.
So exactly. So, but it is an age thing. It's a couple of million years age thing.
Oh, very good point. Mm. So it is a couple of million years age, or if you're from Texas, maybe a 5,000 year old age thing.
Texas. That is where we leave it. Dr. Carl, always awesome to chat to you. 727, I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM.